wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Living faith is a commitment. A deadness has settled down upon our generation, and so as to break this monotonous dullness, people both young and old become desperate. They will even turn to liquor, although they know it will destroy them. They will spend their last dollar on the wild shows of the sexy books, and they will even plunge headlong into the very acts of fornication and adultery. What for? They know better than to so blight their lives and destine their souls to hellfire. But the empty void of their dull lives make them so desperate, they will try anything. But no matter what they try, the deadly condition only worsens until they even consider the taking of the devil's pills of suicide. If they turn to religion for relief, they find a spiritual deadness that makes the church house like a funeral home to them. Is there no relief? Has God left his creatures shut up to being dead while they live? Must our sojourn in this world be like a prison term? Who can bring us relief? These questions face the restless multitudes. Above this world's confusion, a voice of majesty is heard. Hearken! The thief, that is the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Who is this man? He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And yet, before he ever lived in Nazareth, heaven was his home. He created all things, for he is God. He knows what man needs, for he made man. And he knows the root of man's troubles. It is sin, and sin worketh death. The more man sins, the darker his prison of death becomes. Who can break the prison walls and set the captive free to go out into the sunlight of life and liberty? But man tries everything else and passes by the Savior, who alone can turn his death chamber into a radiant sunrise of faith and hope that shineth more and more into the perfect day. But what is the matter with religion? Are not the church houses becoming bigger and more beautiful and the memberships increasing? Do they not profess faith and expose the no-God communists? True, but their faith is so lifeless, the Bible calls it dead faith. They can parade their religious works, but God calls them dead works. To make everything so easy and appealing to the populace, this modern religion does not stop with its cushioned pews, but even dares to shortcut the terms of the gospel. They talk of all that God gives, but to please the selfish, they omit our commitment of ourselves to the Lord. To please those addicted to lustful habits, they remove from the terms of salvation the works of repentance and use the work of Christ as a substitute for such. Christ's work does not remove our responsibility to repent, for he himself preached, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all perish." Religion has so annulled and tampered with God's way of salvation that it has produced a deadly condition of dead faith, dead works, and dead people, dead in trespasses and in sins. No wonder such church members help pack the show houses and empty the liquor shelves and multiply the sale of sexy magazines. With all their religion, they're as dead as the communists and as ungodly as the infidels. Against this dark background, we see the light of real Bible faith, a living faith that instantly snatches one out of death and brings him into life, that eternal, that abundant life in Christ Jesus. The devil knows that everything God has done will fail to meet man's need so long as real Bible faith is not experienced. Just like the powerful locomotive will not move the freight car until the coupling link is secured. That link is faith.
Faith links the needy sinner with the all-powerful Savior, and then the new life begins. God has in love and mercy planned salvation for man. Jesus Christ, his Son, has provided that full salvation, though it cost him the complete sacrifice of himself, even giving his life's blood for us. God's word penetrates the darkness of human speculation and reveals it all clear and plain to man. And God's Spirit stands ready to create a new person, turning a sinner into a saint. But still, there is lacking that vital connecting link, our faith. Of this I will speak. No, you don't want a lecture on faith. You want to see faith. See it in a man like yourself. So I direct you to Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, who was once Saul, a murderer, until he experienced that living faith. His faith he described in these words: "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." See how this living faith is a commitment. Since Christ has given himself in his entirety, even to his own life's blood for me, I must give myself without reservation to Christ if I will know the living faith that Paul experienced on the Damascus Road and that carried him on till he laid down his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ his Lord. And year by year it shined brighter, filling his life with events that left no dull moments. Nor was this only with Paul. In our Bible, one man after another is revealed, men of renown in their generations. What made them so great? It was always one thing, their faith. And by faith they did exploits. The secret of Paul's marvelous life through all his sufferings for Christ was his faith, the certainty of purpose with which he lived never dimmed. He preached with much assurance, for he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Proving its power, he proclaimed it. His living faith he experienced in these words: "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Here was a faith that was all wrapped up in one person. "I know whom I have believed." Some people have great faith in their religion and their church. They even think their churches, confessionals, and masses can forgive their sins. With great admiration, they floodlight their pillars and steeples. I tell you, these religious stone piles shall become a rubble, and these church organizations shall be smashed at Babylon in one day. Then your faith will all go up in smoke. Others spurn religion. While they have great faith in themselves, self-satisfied, self-sufficient human beings, poor fools, may God open their eyes. They are more foolish than a man thinking he could swim the great ocean. Faith is an expression of dependence, but these rely upon themselves. One day they will crack up before the bombs of men and the fiery heavens of the wrath of Almighty God. Great men though they be, in their own eyes or in others, yet they shall cry to the hills to fall on them, as in despair they discover they have not got what it takes. But Paul also knew all this. Whoever had more faith in his religion than he had in the Jews' religion? And whoever thought himself so self-sufficient as did that proud Saul of Tarsus? But Paul had resigned all these, and his faith was now all in one person, not in the woman Mary, but in the man Christ Jesus. Not in a dead Mohammed or Buddha or Pope either, but in the resurrected living Son of God. Paul's faith was all in Jesus. Nothing more was needed, and no one else could do. Where is your faith? And Paul's faith was a commitment. That is, he had handed over something to the Lord Jesus for his safekeeping and also for his absolute control of it as Lord and Master. What had he so committed? First, he entrusted his precious soul to the Lord Jesus. From that hour he had rest and peace, not worrying for one moment as to his eternal welfare. He was trusting all in Jesus. Oh, what peace! Neighbor, do you have this peace? Second, he handed over his whole life to the Lord Jesus, from a young man to being Paul the agent. His whole life. He did not reserve his young years to frolic with the world. All was for Jesus, and you too must make a complete surrender of all your life to be all for Jesus, whom you confess as your Lord, as did Paul, saying, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Our lives must be entirely dedicated to the Lord Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit enters to control that life and make it a daily miracle with no dull moments, all life, abundant life. Third, he committed his body to the Lord, no longer to be his, to be used to gratify his lusts and appetites, but to glorify God in his body, which was now the Lord's, given over to him. As to his health, he wrote, "The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." He entrusted his body to the Lord, and the Lord took care of it. A living miracle. A man stoned to death, beaten, lashed, and yet rising up and going right on for the Lord. Fourth, he committed his money, all of it, to the Lord. One son hands his mother over a little at payday, but keeps most for himself. But another son hands over all his pay. Some give God one-tenth of their money and lavish nine-tenths on themselves. What greed! But Paul gave all his money to the Lord. Working hard into the night, he made tents, but not one coin of it did he save for himself. All was for the Lord's and was used for his gospel. Fifth, Paul committed his time to the Lord. Every hour of the day was the Lord's. Some do Christian work like a hobby, just as they get the notion to. If they worked that way at the factory, they would be without a job. If they took a vacation when they liked to, their boss would give them a permanent vacation. But Paul took no vacation. His vacation was reserved for heaven, when the Lord's workers will rest from their labors. In fact, that talented young man Paul handed himself over, all he was and ever would be, together with all he possessed. All was handed over to the Lord Jesus, both entrusting it to him for safekeeping and recognizing it as the Lord's to glorify him. Allegiance to one's nation, fidelity to marriage vows, all these pale before the claims of Jesus Christ the Lord. Since he, being God, gave himself as Lord and Savior, all that he is for us, we must unreservedly give ourselves, soul, body, life, money, time, and talents, all to him. This was Paul's faith. When religions trim it down or corrupt it, it leaves people deluded, dead, and desperate. But neighbor, I will guarantee you this, for like Paul, I've experienced it. If you will not only receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord, Savior, and God to trust him, but will also commit yourself wholly to him to be his, you will find that life, abundant life, eternal life. You won't need tranquilizers to pull you through the monotonous drag of the day, nor roam the dark haunts of the night to try and relieve your unrest. But in Jesus you'll have peace, rest, joy, and life, for in him is life. One thing more. This faith is a personal faith. I know. I have believed. Will you now take that personal step of living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's all up to you. You can if you will. But if you won't, no one can make you. And it brings a real assurance. I know. I am not ashamed. Oh, the certainty. Your faith will be anchored. Your feet will stand on the solid rock. The storms of life cannot shake it, and the disappointments of time cannot dim it. It stands and shines more and more under the perfect day. A Christian is one that belongs to Christ, as the Bible says. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me bear a little personal testimony here. It was 66 years ago that I received my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I surrendered myself, all that I was and had, to be his, to live for my Lord in doing his will. As the Bible says, I received Christ Jesus the Lord, for him to be my Lord to obey and my Savior to trust. And I'll tell you, neighbor, my life has not been a dull, dead funeral, but a living reality of action and accomplishments that could fill a book. And all as I yielded to my Lord, Jesus Christ, and as the Holy Spirit led and empowered me, to God be all the glory. Do you wonder then that I want you too to have this real Bible salvation? This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.